Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
And now, let's dive into today's episode.
We're really known for being touchy, sitting close on the couch. Our kids probably think we're crazy.
Probably most of, I'm going to say probably all of the conflict in our relationship probably been from me.
I think in our marriage, we find great appreciation for each other.
You have to have love.
That's what works, is you have to be in it together forever.
The greatest predictors of divorce or a relationship falling apart is when spouses cannot accept influence from each other. Not willing to, right?
The best, most fulfilling year of your marriage. We invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show. So I'm super excited to be able to welcome my very special... and dear friends, Trish and Vinny Biondoletti. These are my childhood friends, so I'm really excited about today's episode. Vinny is the very best fishing charter captain out of the Florida Keys, and so affectionately known as Captain Vinny.
Thank you.
For our family. So, Trish, grown up with Trish since grade school, and Trish has the biggest heart of anyone I know, and she works at the high school, and she's been at administration and even teaching some vocational courses there as well. So welcome to both of you. Super excited to have you here on our podcast today.
We're grateful to have you. And you guys know why you were asked to be on the podcast, right?
No idea.
37 years
of marriage, years, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and you guys,
July 1st,
37 years, and you
three
guys,
three boys, right? two grandchildren,
one on the way, yeah. And maybe a third marriage in the making. We hear, maybe.
Hope so.
Fingers are crossed.
Hope so.
And what I know about your relationship is that you're still in love. You guys have a wonderful time together, and I see the smile and the joy and the magic between the two of you every time we're together. And it makes my heart smile because we love to be with you, not only because you're fantastic people, but you guys have a killer, kick-ass relationship. And so that's going to lead us right into our first question, which Kim is going to ask you.
So what makes you a kick-ass couple? And either of you can take that question, whoever's most comfortable with it, but I really do want to hear from both of you, because may say, the other may have a little bit of a different reply. So what makes you guys a kick-ass couple, other than 37 years of marriage?
Go ahead. You want to do it or not? You want me to?
I'm happy to.
Okay, go ahead.
I think in our marriage, we find great appreciation for each other. And I learned from a young age that Vinny was always secure for me and that he always supported everything that I needed or wanted. And I think that having appreciation for each other leads to a stronger commitment to each other in wanting to do good things and share in those things.
Awesome.
Yes.
How about you, Vinny? Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I would say that, from a very young age, obviously, we've been together. So she's had my heart since then. So anything that makes me feel comfortable with her.
That's sweet.
Yeah. You know, we just find joy in each other and try to make things work together. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Sometimes it's just the day-to-day things, right? That add up to the, it's not all the big things. It's just all the little things that make you feel appreciated and secure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 37 years, I know. And, you know, we're going to go forward. Sometimes you have to go back. And so what we want to talk about next is you guys each to think about what did love look like when you were growing up? You know, Kim often says, she says, you know, grandpa's in our bones, right? Mm-hmm. And the way you experience love in your families growing up is kind of what you bring to a marriage, to your relationship, because you have ideas of what love should be, or maybe of what it shouldn't be. And those experiences that you got in each of your family. So maybe, Trish, if you would start off by telling us, when you were growing up, what did love look like in your family? How did you see your parents demonstrating that to each other and to you?
Well, Vinny and I grew up in very different style households, which I think we bring the best of both of those things. Mine was a little more difficult. I lost my dad at the age of 8. And I moved to the Florida Keys, and I couldn't imagine why they were taking me so far from my home in the Queens, New York, to the Florida Keys. And so my mom had met somebody and moved down here with a stepfather who was not easy to live with. And he was very hard on me, abusive in many ways. And I feel that through what I had to endure made me the person I am, in the way that I protect my children. And I've never talked down to my kids, because that's all I ever knew was being battered down. Even though I was a good kid, it was never good enough. And through all of that and all of high school, Vinny never left my side and he knew my struggles. And I thought, why does he stay with me? There was never an easy day. And there was, he's such a great person. But he never left my side. And it's difficult and it's challenging. I always had him, and that's my security.
Sure.
I know my mom loved me, but I feel like sometimes people blind themselves. And so love in my house was, it wasn't really there. It was more of a hostile environment. And it's hard to talk about, but I feel like I'm lucky, because without those things, I wouldn't be the person I am. And I was always able to move forward from that. And sometimes being young and finding somebody, God didn't give me my first baby by accident. I grew up with four brothers, the middle child. All I knew was taking care of my younger brothers, and I knew I would be a good mom. So when that came upon us in our relationship, it was a gift from God. And we're thankful every day for that. So that's my childhood.
Absolutely.
But I got to live in his because we were so young. So he can share his family's. Go ahead.
So what did that look like for you, Vinny?
For me, you know, I had awesome parents, awesome childhood. You know, my parents were married for 52 years before my dad passed away.
Wow.
You know, we grew up with, you know, family dinners.
Yeah.
Sundays were family day. You know, probably everything a lot of people would love to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, just knew that my parents loved each other, and I learned a lot from that. So.
Sure. Do you remember anything specific, Vinny, that you saw between your parents? Like, how did they express love to each? How did they express it to each other? How do you remember that?
You know what? They were, you know, sometimes you can just, you watch people and just the way they looked at each other, you know, the way they smiled when they passed each other, you know, it's just, they were always having a good time and always making sure that, that, everybody around them was having a nice time. They were real role models for sure.
I'd like to add to that. So I was blessed enough to be at a lot of those Sunday dinners, and his family accepted me as their family. And the one thing I loved is, you know, they always called each other hun.
Hun.
Hun. And they would always, no matter what, hun, we're in this together. We got this. And it was like, that's what works, is you have to be in it together forever. And you have to set those role models. So I was blessed enough to be a part of the Beyond the Letty family, which made up for anything that I had to endure.
Sure. So first of all, I want to say that you're not just a good mother, you're a great mother. You're a great mother. And you took so much of that history and you made good out of it. You created what you wanted to have in a relationship mm-hmm. with someone. And, you know, it's those things that we endure sometimes and that change us and make us grow into being better people. And I think you can either go in a positive direction or you can go in a negative direction with right. it. And you chose to rise up and to yeah. be seen and to live a different life with yeah. you and your children.
Yeah, I knew I would never have that lifestyle.
Thank you for being open and vulnerable. I know there are a lot of people out there, Trish, that can relate to exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful for your vulnerability.
And it shows the strength of your character, Trish, that you were able to take something that you didn't like and didn't want and use it for good, right? That's what
every
life...
Every single day of my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say that all the time.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we appreciate you sharing that. And it lets people know... It doesn't matter. You know, Vinny had a great circumstance that he loved, and he brings that love and that example and that warmth to you and to your children, your family, and obviously all your friends. Right. And you had something that wasn't the same, but you still used it for good. And look what you've been mm-hmm. able to do in 37 years for each other and for your family. So our hats off to both of you for that's hard to take those two realities and mix them together and make something great, right? Bake that great cake with ingredients that you might not think go together.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because I think there are things that you have to work through, right?
Right.
When you bring those two different things to a relationship, you have to learn how to work mm-hmm. with each other.
Sure.
So we're going to shift gears a little bit and we're going to go into the what we call the three C's. And I don't know if you all remember, we sent you something that has the 13 pillars of what we talk about. And the three C's that we like to focus on in all of our podcasts are commitment, communication, and conflict resolution. And so, Trish, I'd love to hear from you, and then Vinny, you can chime in after again. Trish, tell me what commitment looks like in your relationship. You guys spoke about it a little bit when you said he's there for me, he's got me no matter what. But talk to me about how commitment has shown up the last 37 years for you guys.
Well, it's really been 41 because we've been together.
Oh, I know.
I was 13. He was 14. Sounds young. But even all through our high school years, we were always committed to each other. I think we enjoy being around each other and we bring out the best in each other. And like I said, Vinny's very secure for me. And we just always have felt a very strong connection. And I think that's always led to a very strong commitment of love.
Right. I agree. We, you know, obviously when you're little, you have, you know, little boyfriends or girlfriend crushes, you know, but when you find the person and you look at them that, you know, I don't care if you're 13 or 14 or 37, doesn't matter. When you find that person that takes your heart, you're committed. And I think we found it early. And for me, you know, that's where I knew I was committed for a long time.
Forever.
Apparently.
Yeah, there's no outs.
But no.
There's no outs.
No.
You guys don't have a plan B.
No, we've never considered an out yet.
No.
We've always been happy.
No,
so.
We're good.
Yeah, thank goodness.
We're good.
But that's never been a thought, consideration, or conversation. It's not an option. You work hard and you come far and raise children and you want to be the best.
It's not easy. Life's not easy. You know, there's challenges every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just seem to
work through.
Yeah, we've worked through. Yeah. We commit to our everyday time and, you know, relationship. So we're good with that. Yeah.
So I'm curious, how do you communicate with each other when you are, I know that, you know, you went through having children, now you have grandchildren, and that's a lot of peaks and valleys over a lot of years. So how did you all communicate and really work with each other?
You?
Me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Vinny.
Well,
I mean, what stands out to you in your communication style and how you really interact with each other?
Honestly, probably my communication skills are not that great, but you know, we just work with each other. You know, if something's on your mind, you just say it. You know, we're secure enough in each other's, you know, in our relationship, obviously, that you can't say anything that, you know, we can't endure. You know, we're going to get through whatever. So, you know, we just talk about things like where we've been, what we've trying to accomplish and where we want to go. And we're good with that.
We are. Communication to me, I found through all the years, especially raising the boys, was we both always wanted to be with our kids, like together first, but every moment with our kids. So he would rush home from fishing to sit with me in the pickup line with the kids. And I thought, no, I can go. But no, every day he could be there to pick them up at the pickup line, which, you know, could be a long time waiting. time to talk. Like, that's where you talk. You don't, you're cautious of what you ever talk about in front of your kids, just to be a good role model. But you always had that time in the car, time in the boat, walks around the neighborhood. Like, I think that's our strongest communication as far as like really being able to touch on anything that we want to speak about privately. So, and dinners, we are big on family dinner every night, communication at the table. I think that's what teaches our kids and to talk about how their days were, how our days were. And so I think that led to good communication.
I was like, you have some good opportunities, good family time. You talk about, you know, what I hear you saying is you guys made it work. If it was the pickup line at carpool for your kids or a walk around the neighborhood at night or on the boat because you wanted to be. Right. And I know sometimes it had to be. And I know, Trish, you were maybe even working, whether you're pulling a trap up, right? Lobster or a crab trap up, you know, so doing what you had to do, but making sure you had those times to connect.
Right. To build that time in.
Sure. So you made sure you were committed to building it in. So it was easy for you to find those. Did you ever have a time where you felt that you weren't able to have good communication or there was things that got in the way, like anything that tripped you guys up that you had to figure out?
Well, you know, Vinny built a great business. And in order to build a business, you can't turn away a fishing trip. So whether it's a morning, an afternoon, or a night, or all three in one day, that's what he had to do. You know, you're building a business. So there were many, many, many nights and days that the kids didn't see Vinny. So there was not a lot of communication. And during the busy season, he could fish 60 days in a row. So I would take the kids down to the dock. We'd visit for 30 minutes just so they could remember what he looked like. He was upset because they would be asleep when he went to work and asleep when they came home from work. So those were challenging times. But like I said, I load them up. We would go down before a ball game, visit with him and, you know, get in all the hugs and love. And, but we worked through it. Like, I understood what he was trying to do. And in order to, you know, build a household and travel and do things, you have to work. So I appreciate his hard work and dedication and never angered me, but it was more work to get down there to see him and to communicate for the kids too.
Sure. And that had to be hard for you, Vinny, to just have very limited time with the boys and with Trish. Tell me a little bit about how that affected you.
Well, you know, obviously you want to do the right thing, mm-hmm. and showing the kids that, you know, hard work, you know, pays off, and having a mother that is there for them all the time, mm-hmm. and her bringing them to the dock or me rushing home to get to the lot into the pickup line so that we could sit in a car together and talk, but them getting in the car, you know, just making that extra effort, you know, that's, they see that, and they learn from that. And I think, you know, our boys are all grown now and have families of their own. So, you know, I think they've learned
yeah.
from what we've,
example,
the example we've created, and, you know, sure. yeah.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. And you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewEHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewEHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go.
After communication, our last C is conflict resolution. And we know that when we have 37 years of marriage, that, again, peaks and valleys. And sometimes those valleys can run pretty deep. And there's going to be conflict, right? There's going to be conflict. How do you resolve conflict when something gets, and maybe there's a time that something got super heated. How do you approach that? And what do you do to resolve conflict when it arises?
Well, I have to truly be honest about this.
Go ahead.
I don't want to say it's embarrassing, but it's not for me. I don't think we've really ever raised our voice at each other. So we don't fly off the handle. We don't scream and yell. We, you know, we're pretty calm people. So
yeah,
we are probably probably 90, all of the conflict in our relationship probably been from me. Yeah. Aww. Right. Wouldn't you agree with that? Just say yes. And then,
okay.
You know, we work things out. I probably get quiet. She gets quiet, and we probably sit on it for a day or two.
Yeah, we come together.
You know, before we really speak about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I think that he's truthfully right. And it is hard to say that we haven't really had terrible times, and we do not raise our voices to each other. If anything ever happens, it's probably the female who's more sensitive to how something was said and how maybe I received it. And so I tend to clam up, and that's something I'm working on. And well, I've always been working on is to kind of address it when something bothers me, because he doesn't always know that what he said or how he said it maybe hurt my feelings.
Right.
But we tend to, like he said, give it a little bit of time. We usually visit these things when we go to bed and we have quiet time, no interruption, and can say, look, I just want to let you know that, like, maybe you didn't realize this, but it hurt my feelings. And they're probably pretty silly things, because, you know, women, we're, you know, emotional sometimes. And like I said, I had 4 brothers, 3 sons, and a husband. Without my girlfriends,
it's
a lot of men in my life. So for some reason, you know, they have their own way, but sometimes I think maybe they forget that maybe I'm a girl, yeah, and maybe I'm a little sensitive towards how something was said, or, and I might just take it a little harder. But I think in our bedtime is when we spend time resolving and talking about it. And it's not always easy because sometimes I tend to press things down. And I don't know if that's from my childhood where I didn't speak of things. So it's a work in progress. But we resolve it by talking it out. And it's worked for us.
So I want to ask you, so you guys both said that we're both pretty calm and quiet and there's not been, you know, these knockdown, drag out, screaming vases crashing.
We're boring.
Boring. And that's okay. We're not looking for the juicy, sordid story. But so I'm a little curious, is that because you feel that's just how the two of you are as individuals? Or do you feel that you guys either talked it out or worked it out as to this is how you're going to approach things? So where does that nature come from? Is it individual or was it an agreement or collective? How'd you guys get there?
You know, obviously my parents were, you know, I had two parents in my household my whole entire life. They were fantastic. If they had an argument, I never knew about it. And knowing that her household was a little more, you know, if you said something, you might've got yelled at, you know? So knowing that and knowing how she felt about that and wanting to change that, I'm not going to be screaming and yelling and, you know, making conflict because she doesn't want that. And I don't want that. I didn't grow up like that. So you're not going to, you know, I felt like we're not going to have this and do it because it's not.
I don't feel like it's our makeup. We're not angry people. No. We're happy people. And I think we just bring the best of that. Not to say you don't have an off day, a sad day. You know, like I said, I'm a girl. I'm emotional. And it seems like he knows.
We like that.
You know, he knows when to let me have my emotional times. You know, I lost my mom, like many people. And it's been difficult for me every day. And some days you can find me in my bedroom floor crying. And he knows when to touch, when to give me space. And I think we feed off of that from each other. And I appreciate that because sometimes you really just need alone time. So I don't know if it's just that we are so considerate. I don't know. We've really never had any great challenges.
Well, I feel like I hear you saying, Vinny, that you understand Trish and you know what those triggers are.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that any raising of your voice or talking down to her is really going to trigger some ugly stuff for her. And why go there?
Why go there? It's not who I am.
That you're aware. Yeah.
Right. It's not who I am. And it, you know, she doesn't need that. She grew up with that. Her brothers grew up with that. So, you know, why? That's not even
an option. Don't want that pattern in our life.
No.
And we knew from early on. I mean, we did talk early on, even though we were young. We knew where we came from. I probably taught Vinny about resolving things with our family, with our kids, and talking things out because I would never live in a household like I had. So I think that from my background and his, we were able to come up with what our plan would be for our kids, which would be protecting them and keeping them close by us and never letting them be harmed.
Sure. Well, I think, and Vinny, I mean, Kim nailed it on the head is, you know, why step on a landmine if you know it's a landmine? Right? Right? I mean, that's insanity, right? Oh, I'm going to get hurt, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or it's going to hurt.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt her feelings.
Well, but, that's commitment, right?
Yeah.
And that's also great communication because you're saying, I know what she needs. I know what she doesn't need. And that's you saying, I'm going to work to give it to her because I love her and I'm committed. And that's beautiful. And I think that's great. And it's a great example. That's what kick-ass couples do is they take those things and apply them. And it's a beautiful example of supplying that need because it's not about you giving her what you want to give her. It's about you knowing what she needs and giving her what she needs. And that's a great seesaw swinging back and forth in your relationship. And so I want to just label it because I want to make sure you guys know that it's apparent to others looking in. And as you talk about the dynamics of the relationship, that's what we see being played out. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what successful couples do.
Yeah.
And that's a great example of it.
And you guys got that early on. I mean, you can ask Matthew. I'm just getting good at communicating in my later years. I could go from zero to 60 really fast.
Yeah. we're all works.
You're way ahead of us.
We're all works in progress.
Absolutely. Sure. You got to work every day.
Yeah. Work together.
No doubt. Well, so those are three of our 13 pillars, and we believe that those are the most important. They're really foundational in a successful relationship. We have 10 more, and I think you have the list of the 13 pillars. Do you have the list?
I can run through them. I'm gonna run through them for you guys. As I say these things, if you guys will each think about. So we talked about three important ones, and those are all important, and we think there are others are too. As I say these out, I want you guys to pick one that you think is important or important to you, and then you can talk about that, okay? The fourth pillar is trust and honesty. The fifth is patience. The sixth is intimacy. The seventh is lasting love. The eighth is selflessness. Then we have unity, then servant leadership, then faith or moral code, then appreciation, and security. So, and I can read those again or go back to them. So, Trish, as you hear me read those things out, which one of those really pops out at you or do you feel is important to you or your relationship or for a relationship to work well?
Well, what jumps out to me is intimacy, because I feel like that's the greatest connection that we can share. And we're really known for being touchy, sitting close on the couch. Our kids probably think we're crazy. I feel like being intimate and touching all night long, there's a foot on him or a foot on me. It just feels good. It feels right. I like to be touched and loved. And I think it's really important. I think it's the foundation. I mean, everything is important in a relationship, but I think you should want to connect and touch and be close. And that makes me feel good. We seem to always have that too. We like it.
How about you, Vinny? Does one of those
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to be honest. Could you repeat?
Yeah, of course.
Because there was one there that I thought about, and then
I got distracted.
Yeah, Squirrel.
Yes, I was distracted.
Squirrel. All right. I'm going to read through them again.
Go.
Trust and honesty. Patience. Intimacy. Lasting love. Selflessness. Unity. Servant leadership. Faith and moral code. Appreciation. And security.
Okay. So as soon as you said selflessness, what came to my mind was my wife. She's selfless. She thinks of everybody before herself. You know, she puts, you know, she's, you know, always thinking of others first. You know, she's selfless. She puts everybody first. That's the only way I can describe it. Family, me, what we're doing.
What impact has it had on your relationship, Vinny, her selflessness?
You know what? I learned from that. It's like you look at her and you go, oh my gosh, how are you doing that? You know, how can you just keep going and giving it? To me, it's, you know, she bounces around from one project to the next, constantly doing things for people. And I just look at her and I'm like, wow, how are you doing that?
But you're always helping me.
Well, I try to help. I try to help. No, but you're the power behind it. So it's, you know, you go from one thing to the next.
I probably come up with ideas, but he's so supportive. I do a lot of community service and service at my school for students that are very important to me because there's so many people that are underprivileged or need help. And so I do put them first.
You're selfless.
And, but you help me. You load the car. He does. I mean,
that's not the point.
All through COVID, we dropped gift cards in mailboxes, and he drove me from 106 to mile marker 70. And I'm like, you don't know, I'm going. And so we share in it together. I get it. It's my idea. Right. Like, but
but you help execute. You help execute.
Yeah. But, and you're there to support it, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, what I hear coming out too is servant leadership. So she's selfless and trying to provide service. And then Vinny, you're there right along with her. Doesn't matter whose idea it is, but you're doing it together, which leads to another pillar, which is unity. So it's crazy.
They're all
they all come together. But I love the fact that you, it sounds like also, Vinny, that you're saying she motivates you to be more selfless because you're like, she's a great example for you. And here's another thing that's going on there that you guys, it's not one of our pillars, but it does kind of fall in there, and it's accepting influence, right?
Well,
if couples, so there's a guy named Dr. John Gottman, and one of their greatest predictors of divorce or a relationship falling apart is when spouses cannot accept influence from each other, not willing to, right? Mm-hmm. And what you just talked about, and through your talking about selflessness and servant leadership, is you guys are willing to accept influence from each other. That means one, somebody takes the lead and you're fine with that, and the other one takes a lead, you're fine with that too.
Absolutely.
And that's really critical. And I see you demonstrate that. That's another great kudos, and fun to see you guys demonstrate that.
Yeah. So we believe that when you have an incredible marriage like the two of you do, when you're masters at, or kick ass, I should say, at being a couple, you can't help but have that spill over into other things that you do, into other things that are happening in your life. We call that sort of spillover thinking. How has the success of your relationship spilled over into other things in your life? Can you give me some examples?
I guess I go back to commitment, and I think it spills over to friendship and commitment with my friends that are so important in my life. And even when you don't talk to them frequently, when you do, you feel like you never left off. And I think being a committed friend and sharing yourself with people, which, because I learn from my friends, I think is a way that maybe we spill over to keeping connections when it's not always easy, you know, and distance is hard, but we make that a priority. So I think that's important.
You're right. I'm pretty much, I go to work, do my thing. She supports me 100%, keeps everything running. Yeah. And I just, which it's totally appreciated. And so when I come home, I want to make sure that I can jump in and give a handout wherever it's needed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a teamwork, you know, she's supporting me when I'm not here, she's keeping everything going. So when I come home, I got to be committed to, you know, jumping in and, you know, taking out the trash or cooking because she's had a busy day. So, you know, we work it out like that. We're a good team.
Yeah. I think it spills over to your relationships with your customers too, because you share with he shares with his customers a lot. They're always interested in our family and how things are doing and how are the boys. And they've grown up with our kids coming to the dock. So I think for Vinny, he spends a lot of time communicating with people, and they're very interested in our family. And most, you know, a lot of the people he fished with don't come back with the same wife. And it's hard over the years to see people separate and, you know, have difficulties in their marriage, but they're still very interested in ours, which is nice because he's always happy to share about. Yeah. And his customers will call and say, "Oh my gosh, all he does is talk about you." I'm like, "I'm sorry." But they said, "You know what? he's happy. And I go, well, that makes me happy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. That goodness spills over from your relationship to his business. And I'm sure is a big reason why he's so successful. Yeah,
he's happy.
Confident, fulfilled, stable, right? All that good stuff. That's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely.
I think people want to be around secure, happy people. So I think that he's done a good job with his business. Thanks.
All right. One more question here, guys. Coming back. Vinny, if you had to go back to your pre-married self, I know you guys were dating at 13, 14, but I'm telling you, you're going
maybe
before
like 10
you,
years
before
old.
You got married, you're going to put your hands on the shoulders of yourself and you're going to say, this one thing is what you got to know or you got to do. What advice would you give to your pre-married self before embarking on the journey that you've come on?
I feel incredibly fortunate for obviously our relationship and the things that we've have and but this last week I heard a couple different people say this. You have to have love, and if you have love, I think everything else just kind of falls in place. So if I had to go back to that, you know, pre-married self, I would say make sure that you have love, because it's, you know, it really is the most important thing. If you love somebody wholeheartedly, everything else will work itself out. So, you know, I didn't know that when I was younger, but now
it's the foundation.
It's love. You know, you have to have love. And you having love with your wife, your kids see that, everybody sees that, and it just makes everything better. So that's what I would give a young me. Tell me, make sure you have love.
Beautiful. So, thank you. All right, Trish. Yeah. What would you tell that pre-married Trish?
Yeah, run.
That was great.
Yeah. I would probably tell myself to be stronger in communication. I think that holding it in for me makes it difficult for me instead of just sharing. And even though we all need some time to figure things out, I feel like maybe if I didn't hold on to things, and I think from an earlier age, because I think communication is where a lot of marriages struggle, you know? And I think if I would have been able to tell myself something, I think I would say, don't be afraid to share your feelings and to communicate them. And I think that's what I would tell myself.
Beautiful. Great. Well, we are so grateful to have had the two of you today to share a little bit of your history. We'd love to know, Captain Vinny, we know that Trish doesn't want you fishing 365 days a year.
No.
But if people want to find you and learn more and experience the magic of backcountry fishing with Captain Vinny, how would they do that?
How would they do that?
How do they find
him? Facebook, Vinny Biondoletti, or Instagram, Captain _ Vinny Biondoletti. That's where you find me.
Nice.
You know, I'm not technologically advanced, so that's the best I can tell you.
That's great.
Google me.
There you go.
Right. Biondoletti.
You can Google anything.
And I'm going to spell that because it took me a few years to get it. Biondoletti. Biondoletti. And I think there's only one probably Captain Biondoletti in the Florida Keys. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
There's only one Vinny Biondoletti. That's pretty darn sure. So that's how we find you. And Trish, you're working at the high school, still giving and volunteering and helping kids in high school.
Yeah. I love it there. I love the kids. They're amazing.
Yep. We hear about them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He warned me early on that I couldn't bring them home. So was an agreement.
I know.
He said, I know it's going to pull at your heart, but you can't bring them home. So I've abided by that, but I help a lot of kids at school and I love that.
That's wonderful.
Well, thank you both so much from the bottom of our hearts. We are so excited.
We can't wait till we get the opportunity to interview you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it.
Is the when's the podcast starting, guys? Let us know. We'll be first.
Yeah.
I promise.
Well, congratulations.
This is awesome what you're doing and helping other people and sharing stories and building strength in relationship is what it's about. So that's really a great thing you're doing.
So glad to have you guys today. Yeah, thanks again.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
When's the podcast starting, guys? Let us know. We'll be first.
Yeah.
I promise.
Well, congratulations.
This is awesome what you're doing and helping other people and sharing stories and building strength in relationship is what it's about. So that's really a great thing you're doing.
So glad to have you guys today. Yeah, thanks again.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen.